So as ever, Father, we come before you, asking you to open our ears and our hearts and our minds. And I, Lord, lay this message before you because I fear to go where angels fear to tread, and that is basically to go anywhere without grace and your guidance. And so I ask you, Lord, to guard my mouth and my mind and to work through this work of my hands, and we pray was inspired by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, whoever we are, wherever we are in our walk, Lord, we pray that you would bless us through this message by speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, today's message, ironically, is called Coming Out. Coming Out. And 9th of August, and the sun isn't coming out yet. But we've finally done it. Yes, as long as I can remember in association with this church, we've always met inside the chapel for Sunday services. Ah, but wait though, no, that's not true, is it? Because due to the COVID-19, we had to close the chapel for a time and use the only backup that we had at the time, and that was on Zoom. It suited some people more than others, but at least we were able to sing in our own homes together. Not much fun if you're living alone, mind you, though even fellowship with the same people, if you've got a small family, can be a little bit same-ish, to say the least. No offence intended to my wife and son, by the way. But now, look what we've got. We've got the best of both worlds, you might say, maybe. We can see and hear each other. We are within touching distance of each other, and we don't need to wear masks outdoors. And what's more, we can sing out loud. We're not muzzled anymore. As loud as you want, notwithstanding being acceptable to our gracious neighbours. So the weather has permitted us to gather outside the chapel. The church has at last come out into the open. The masks are off and singing is permitted. However, the term coming out, as some of you will have probably twigged, has a modern meaning. It relates to someone who has been keeping a secret, perhaps for many months or even years, or maybe the whole lifetime. He or she may have been afraid to reveal the truth about themselves. Admit the truth to other people, that what has been going on in their life and their mind, in their heart, a truth about their beliefs or conduct, maybe conduct that they were ashamed of or worried about other people, how they would react to if they knew only the truth of who I really was, who you really were. Something they've just about plucked up enough courage to confess, and they come out. They come out of the closet, as it used to be called. Often this has been because the conduct of some people has been typically non-biblical in the past. Perhaps they've been living a sinful life or giving into temptations that they have struggled with for some time. Either way, they have not been happy to release the information to the general public. Whether they realized it or not, they were, metaphorically, wearing a mask. So as to hide the truth about who they were, who they are, what they were thinking, what they were doing. And that mask was, or is still, in effect, a lie. It's not the truth. It's hiding the truth. Of course, nowadays society is turning away from biblical guidance and looking instead to science, society, humanism, and more towards the saying, if it feels good, then just do it, so long as you don't hurt anybody else. And as a result of this new age way of looking at things, more and more people are, to coin a phrase, coming out. And more often than not, it is to celebrate lifestyles and beliefs that are not honouring to God, the God of the Bible, but rather to the god of this world, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, as we've just said, and the one who desires to lead people away from the way of salvation, and particularly from belief in Jesus Christ and his word, the Bible. Here's an example from the New Testament of a person who was also afraid of coming out. Who was that then? Because his important friends and high-powered associates were not necessarily of the same persuasion that he was. Who could that be? John 3:1-8. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night. And he said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him." And in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth only to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit of God." So, Nicodemus, who seemed to believe at least that Jesus had been sent by God, was still afraid to come out. He wasn't ready for that yet. He came to talk to Jesus at night, presumably under the cover of darkness. I guess it's understandable to some extent. In the early years before my conversion to Jesus, I wasn't too keen about admitting that I had a deep interest in knowing more about God and Jesus. I wasn't likely to stand up for the local God squad, or the Bible bashers as we used to call them. But after I was born of the Spirit, after I was born again, well, that was a different matter. I then took every opportunity, especially in the early days, to share my new faith in Jesus Christ. I had no option but to come out. There was no more hiding, and tell people what had happened to me. So, am I now the finished article? No, of course not. But I'm on the way. I've started the path. I'm going in the right direction with the right one. And I still make mistakes, and there's still a lot to do. And when I came down here, this very spot, on Friday night to check out if and how we could have an outdoor service, I stood on these steps and I played my guitar and I sang a bit, and it felt very strange. Very strange. Partly to me it was like being on a stage in a theatre or something like that. Almost like I was about to perform an act, i.e. wear a mask as an actor or a performer. I was tempted to believe that it's just an act. You're wearing a mask. You're entertaining. So I had to ask myself some very, very serious questions. Do I take the mask off to play and sing, metaphorically, or do I put the mask on to play and sing? Mask on or mask off? How is it with you? I'm not talking about a material mask, am I? I'm talking about who is the real me, Who is the real you? Why am I doing this? Why are you doing it? Why are you here? Why am I here? Of course, from a practical point of view, I wanted to avoid things going wrong this morning. I tune the guitar, I check the batteries, I prepare the music, I print the words, plan the service, write the sermon, make sure people can find their way to this garden, cut the brambles back, put it on Facebook, the website, encourage people to turn up, tell them the times. But I can't make it happen. But what is the driving force behind all that? Do I want to be number one? The top of the stack, praised, admired, given special honour and respect by what I do. So why do I do what I do? I do it, I believe I do it, because against all the thoughts to the contrary, feelings and temptations to do exactly the opposite, temptations to do less, to throw in the towel, to give up, to walk away, I overcome that with the Lord's help because I believe the God who is saving me called me for a purpose. And this is just part of that purpose. It's part of my struggle of coming out, coming outside into a strange environment, talking when you know your neighbours are listening. And I know they're listening. It's part of my struggle of coming out and being who and what I'm called to be. A bit like a butterfly fighting to get out of its chrysalis. It's not easy, but it's absolutely necessary and vital. But it's not just about me, is it? It's about Jesus and it's about you, whoever you are. It's about all of us. We may have come out of the church building today. We've left the chapel behind, but we are still the church. We are the church. It's not the chapel. It's not the building. We just happen to be assembled together outside in the open in this garden. Paul's letter to the Philippian church encourages all of them, and it should encourage us too. In Philippians 1, verses 4 to 6, Paul says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He who began a good work in you. Who is that? Who is that? He who began a good work in you. Who began a good work in you? Jesus has been missing from earth in the physical for around 2,000 years. So the answer on this occasion is not Jesus. Although in most youth club quizzes, the answer is always Jesus. This is not the answer. So respectfully, it isn't referring to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It is referring to the Holy Spirit of God. Mentioned in John 3. Do you remember? You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The work began at the very moment that you were born again. That's when it began. And at the point that you were born again, you should have had your great coming out party. Some of our testimonies include that very fact, that you did come out and you did tell your friends and they did think you were lunatics. Me included. You should have had a great coming out party and told everybody what had just happened in your life and to your life. But the conditions we have to meet in order to be born again, and there are conditions, include another kind of coming out. Now the problem with wearing a mask is that you can fool all of the people some of the time, you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. And more to the point, you can't fool the Holy Spirit at all, any of the time. Therefore, remember, he sees more than anyone else can see and knows if you're trying to hide something or deny something. If you come to God for the first time thinking that you're a law-abiding citizen and you're okay, think again. Because in Romans 3, 20-24, this is made perfectly clear that therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, a righteousness that comes from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. There's no difference. We've all sinned and fallen short. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Because the more you try to keep the law, the more you realize you don't. If you've never confessed your sins to God, then you're still wearing a spiritual mask. Honestly, if you've never confessed your sins to God, then you're still wearing a spiritual mask. A mask that he can see straight through, as clear as day, as if you weren't wearing it. Others may suspect that you're wearing a mask, but he actually knows whether you are or not. There's a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. This is what Jesus calls us to do in John 7, 37-38. Jesus speaking, or rather, he will speak in a minute, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, can you see that? A loud voice. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It's no good just going to him or sitting around with people who are with him. You have to drink from him. You have to get him into you. So my objective when I preach is to point towards Jesus Christ, as he is our only hope. Our only hope. He is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. Yes? The problem is, I am not the Holy Spirit, and therefore cannot convince anyone of sin. My hope is that he will say something through me, perhaps, that will convince the listener to believe. But not just to believe, but to confess their sins to repent, to turn away from their sins, their old way of life. And finally, because we're called to, finally to be baptized, to leave your old life behind. Now leave out any one of those commitments, and there is unfinished business for God to attend to. Because you could still, even at that stage, still be wearing a mask. If you haven't believed, if you haven't confessed, if you're not repenting of your sins, if you haven't been baptized, for whatever reason, you could still be wearing a mask, a spiritual mask, hiding, because the truth isn't out. The reason that you haven't done that hasn't been publicized. So now that we have come out of the chapel, we're in the garden, are we ready now to go into the whole world and preach the good news? We're a little bit closer as a church, but as individuals you could do it anytime, anywhere. Because remember, that's why we've come out. We've come out so that we're free to worship and praise, but also that others might hear what we've got to say and to share the good news. I'll leave you with Mark 16:16, which says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And as I understand condemnation, that means you're going down. But if you believe, then that belief should lead you to confess, to repent, to be baptized, and to seek the Lord's will for your life. So, let's keep on coming out and going out into the world. In Jesus' name, let's do it. Amen. Father, I just pray your seal on this message, Lord, to Lord, bless it and send it out to produce the fruit for which you desire, Lord, that others would see and hear and believe in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.